and shed no tear. No woman, no cry. Good friends we have, and good friends we've lost along the way. In this great future, you can't forget your past. So dry your teeth.
Presents this program in color.
Autobots, roll out. End of line.
This sounds pretty heavy. Wait, it has nothing to do with it.
I am the Knight Industries 2000.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Hasta la vista, baby.
I'm Batman.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Welcome to Vintage Geeks, where we are saving the multiverse one podcast at a time. I'm David.
I'm Joe.
And I'm Dunk.
And, we're going to start off because this has been a rough week. Friday. I was working and my boss had said, "Hey, did you see Batman died?" And I'm like, because I was working, I wasn't paying attention. I'm like, no. I made some wisecrack about, you know, I guess something about whoever won the Powerball better step up and start spending that money wisely, and fucking then someone shot the message that Kevin Conroy died, and I was fucking tears crying. That broke my heart. That was my Batman through and through. I grew up watching the animated series. I remember I was in college when that was airing, and I would skip my last class to go see it. I would ditch out and go watch that show. It was so good. I absolutely adored that show, and I will always think of Kevin Conroy when someone says, "Who's your favorite Batman?" Without a doubt.
Absolutely. I found out. Actually, it was Friday, yeah, because I was doing a staff training, and in the middle of the training my phone goes off, and I don't know if it was you on David that posted it.
David, it was, or David, because I didn't, because I that's how I found out about it.
Yeah, but no, but I think right around the same time that, that David messaged our group, another friend of mine sent me a text, and I think I just remember like looking at the phone and was like, oh shit. And then everybody in the staff meeting, it was a small one. It was like six people, you know, my staff, and I'm doing, I was just like, I need a moment of silence. And he was like, why? I was like, Kevin Conroy died. They're like, they're all young kids. They didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, he was the greatest.
Yeah. You know, and when I saw him on anything, I saw him recently, like an interview or something, visually, he was getting very thin.
Yeah, he didn't look healthy at all.
Yeah, and so I was like, I don't know, what is there something wrong with him? And it's just, man, cancer fucking sucks. I mean, yeah. It's, but, you know, and he was recording the voice for that, what, the new, was it the Paul Dini show? The new, the Cape Crusader or whatever it's called. So I don't know what they're going to do now, because from what I read, they've got some of them already, you know, filmed and voiced over, apparently. But but yeah, that remember, that was the, wasn't that the when the animated series, it was like that Fox Afternoon was just killer.
Oh, dude, it was fucking incredible. It was like, it was Batman, Spider-Man, Animaniacs,
Tiny Toons.
Dude, it was like, that was the best fucking 2 hours of television ever. In a row where you just fucking sat down and were completely entertained every episode. Like, and those, that Batman the Animated Series, for fans like us, like, those were as close to comic book stories that we got in, like, animated form. Like, because we had, like, Super Friends, which was corny as shit and over the top and, like, this felt like you could fucking make a, like, they were taking stories from the comic book, putting their own twist on it, and fucking making their own stories. And it was beautifully told. Like, as much as the first couple of seasons might have been aimed more towards kids, the longer it went, like, those were solid Batman stories. That, the Heart of Ice episode have been the most devastating, that and the one where it was the Royal Flush Gang and it was that little girl and he was fucking sitting.
That was Justice League Unlimited. But you're exactly right. It's like that, you know, Heart of Ice redefined Mr. Freeze as a villain. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like how, like, Richard Donner's Fortress of Solitude continues on to this day and everything, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing. Like, Mr. Freeze was never the same after that. It was more of a, like, a, you know, like a tragic villain with that.
Right.
And, like, you know, one of my favorite Batman animated series episodes was that Robin's Reckoning, that two-parter.
That's
beautiful. The one that I talked to when I was on the Animated Backcast years ago. That's that I said, when you do Robin's Reckoning, I need to be on that. But when I read comics or when I see anything with Batman, I hear it in his voice. And he just like how Christopher Reeve did the Clark Superman, same thing that he did with the Bruce Wayne Batman. And it's just, you know, the Arkham games with him in them, anything and everything. It's just the interview I think I posted on our site that he did a year or so ago with Michael Rosenbaum, Inside of You, was great. I mean, this is a friggin' Juilliard actor. Which was like, that's what Christopher Reeve was, you know? And, you know, it just by happenstance, they got recommended to read for this. And, you know, Andrea Romano, you know, which was a voice, you know, casting director.
Dude, her doing those animated, she fucking nailed voices.
Oh, like, my God. She's unbelievable.
Tim Daly's Superman is inspired casting. Like, inspired casting. Like, it is
And don't forget Mark Hamill as a Joker.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Like,
Michael Ironside as Darkseid.
The way she heard voices for, like, the animated series, Justice League, those early animated movies, like Under the Red Hood and all that, those choices were beyond inspired. Like, that chick had such a good ear for names. And I didn't start kind of falling out until it was like they started doing the new 52, and it was who's the dude that was doing Batman for Jason O'Mara. Yeah. I could not stand Jason O'Mara's voice. Like, I never wanted Kevin Conroy to be Batman's voice so bad in my life as when he was doing it. Because, like, it's not that he has a horrible voice. He just didn't have the right, I don't know, attitude for it or whatever. Like, it wasn't, it didn't quite connect with me. So, Kevin Conroy will, oh man, fucking.
Yeah, I mean, the best way you could say it is he redefined the sound of Batman's voice. He redefined it for a generation, and for, I think, probably for future generations as well.
Yeah, like honestly, I bought the Mad Love graphic novel that they put out, which was all done in the Batman animated series, and it's where they did the story Mad Love with Harley Quinn. Dude, every time you pull that out and read it, you're reading the anime. Like, you hear every voice in there as if you were watching the show. It is so brilliant. I fucking love that book. I'm going to absolutely miss Kevin Conroy. I hope he is better off and not hurting, but it is a huge loss to the rest of us. I guess to lighten it up a little bit, we'll talk a couple trailers. Me and Joe kind of talked trailers about when we went and saw Black Adam. The one I saw this time was Avatar, The Way of Water. And I saw Wakanda Forever in 3D, real D3D. So that trailer, Avatar, was in 3D. And I looked at my son and I said, I fucking hate this movie for making me have to go watch this in IMAX 3D because it looks fucking incredible. I can't wait to go see this in the theater, but I can tell it is going to be vapid as shit. I am going to go watch this movie just for the visuals alone because it is that fucking beautiful in just real D3D. IMAX real 3D is going to fucking blow your mind.
I don't know, man. I was playing Marvel Snap during that trailer. So I didn't really watch it, but I was not interested. I was like, I'll rather play a game or two of Marvel Snap before Black Panther starts.
I'm telling you, I get it. The story looks so fucking ridiculous, and like, I don't care anything about it. But the visuals alone look like you can tell James Cameron really put the work in on the visuals for it. You're not going, this is very much like the first Avatar. I wasn't a big fan of Avatar because I didn't see it in the theater.
No, I saw it in the theater. I just didn't see it in 3D.
Yeah, I saw it like when it came out on DVD.
I didn't see it in the theater. I was not interested. I watched it, you know, not, you know, at home or whatever.
Right. And to me, all I ever heard was, oh, the movie's dumb as shit, but it's so good in the theater. And that is exactly what The Way of Water looks like. Like, it looks spectacular. If you're going to see it, Like, I literally want to go just to see the visuals because it looks outstanding. But if I didn't see this movie ever, if I just watched it on, like,
if I didn't see this movie ever,
I would be fine because it looks that vapid. Like, I'm just like, ah, fuck, I don't care. I didn't like the first one. I don't give a shit what's going to happen in the second one. The only reason I'd see it is because it looks that good. But, yeah, fuck that movie. I hate that I'm going to have to go see this. Dunk, you saw Creed 3 trailer. What did you think? What did you think of your boy Kang? That dude was fucking jacked, dude.
That dude was jacked. I saw it. The trailer. I saw the YouTube trailer, and I think, the one that they showed in the theaters was different because I don't remember as much of it. I don't remember it being the same. So, but either way, the trailer the theatrical trailer they played in front of Wakanda Forever was jacked. Like, and I was telling, I was like, yeah, I saw Creed 1. I didn't see the second one because I was like, all right, I can see where the story's going. But this one, just the trailer alone, I was like, all right, now I got to go rewatch the first one. I got to watch the second one, and I need to watch the third one because the trailer looks amazing. It looks like it's the character arc is going to be completed really well. The tension between him and his best friend, which, you know, looks like the story is going to be Jonathan Majors. You know, they were boys when they were younger, and Jonathan went to prison for a while and comes out, and he feels like Creed has, you know, stole his place and stole his shine. So now it's going to be a personal battle between them, which, you know, I think though that was the essence of the first, like, three or four Rocky movies. I think the last good one, Rocky. No, I shouldn't say the last good one, but Rocky IV was my favorite. And that one, that training montage with Rocky when he was in Russia, when he was coming back to avenge Apollo's death, I think was great. It was phenomenal. And I think
training montage, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Russia training montages
are tight. so that trailer, I that trailer just got me hyped to see that movie.
Oh, you fucking wrecked me.
I didn't very much like yous. Yous didn't very much like me.
Oh my god, that's great. Fucking Russian training montages, tight.
Oh man.
I liked the look of Creed 3. I think Joe said it. It looks like a generic story, but again, if you could pull off a generic story and make it have some heart and really develop these characters, then I'm for it. And Jonathan Majors is just like killing it right now.
Yeah, dude, like three high profile movies coming out.
Yeah, that fucking one about him being a pilot looks fucking incredible too, actually. I can't think of the name of that movie.
I think it's Devotion or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, that's coming out this month. And then Ant-Man 3 is coming out in February. And then Creed, I think, is scheduled for March.
Yeah. So what did you think of Ant-Man 3 trailer?
I loved it. But I'm really getting into the mode of like not wanting to see these trailers because I think going into Wakanda, I saw begrudgingly the second trailer. I tried very, very hard. When I went to go see Black Adam, they played the new trailer for Wakanda, and I guess I could have like covered my ears and my eyes, but you know. I had the kids with me, so I was just like, fuck it, whatever. I just sat through it. But so the Ant-Man 3 trailer was good. I saw it. They played it both times, obviously, before Wakanda. So it's like, all right, well, I don't need to see another trailer for the movie. I mean, it looks good. Jonathan Majors looks good. Comic book accurate costume, which I didn't think they were actually going to do. Paul Rudd, fucking, like, he owns that role. And, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer, everyone looks great. Like, it looks like it's going to be a crazy, crazy movie. And, I mean, Marvel, we're going to talk about Wakanda, obviously, in a few minutes. But I really, really think they set the bar really high going into Phase 5. And I think Ant-Man 3 officially kicks off Phase 5. So I'm expecting it to be a really good movie and a really big kickoff.
Yeah. I like the looks of it a lot. I saw it for the second time when I saw Wakanda Forever, and I really like where they're going, especially after seeing Wakanda Forever, where that, like, it feels like they kind of have a direction and are working towards something, and I got that. But you're right, I'm fucking done with trailers, man. I actually had a interview for kind of a position move in my company, and they said they had asked me, I go, about a job that's kind of being created right now, and they said, do you have any questions? I said, well, I kind of basically have an idea of what the position is, and I don't want to get, like, too involved in it. The way I look at it is, I hate being spoiled for anything going into movies or whatever. I said, I get that this position's going to kind of evolve into something, and I don't really need to know what it is now because I'm not focused on that position right this second. I still have a ton of work. We're in year end, and we got a ton of stuff to do. So I don't really need to know anything else other than what I know, because I kind of want to go into it with fresh eyes and put it all in when I get into that position, as opposed to being like always on my mind and taking up thought of what I should be working on right now. And I'm like, it's just kind of a geek thing inside of me that I don't want things to be spoiled. It's weird, but it's how I work. And my boss, who was in on the interview, like, just laughed. He goes, I get that. I'm like, yeah, see? Like, he actually, that Friday when I came in, he asked me my opinion of Wakanda Forever, like, just as I logged on, too. So it was really funny that I could use that kind of terminology. Like, I saw the Ant-Man trailer. I'm excited for it, but I don't need to know anymore right now. I'm good. All good. All right. We're going to move on. Well, first, me and Joe have got to give a little plug. After we recorded Black Adam, me and Joe started playing fucking Marvel Snap. And I'm not even kidding. This game is like crack, dude. Like, it is. It is so fun. It is ridiculously entertaining. You so have to think and, like, strategize. It is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant card game. And me and Joe sit there, message each other back and forth about how, like, people play stupid ways, or we talk strategy. It is fun as fuck. I am not even kidding. This game is ridiculously fun and is, like, you will find yourself so involved in a game. When you do something really funny, like, I won a game with three fucking cards. I won all three positions.
That was awesome.
And I had three cards on the board, and this dude played, like, 6-7 cards. And I was so proud. Like, I sent a picture of the hand over to Joe and was like, this dude should be embarrassed. Like, it's just so fun. It is. If you haven't played, if you don't want to be on your phone and, like, get sucked into this silly game, don't download it. The minute you download it, it will, like, you will find moments to sneak away and play a hand just for the sake of playing a hand, because you got an idea of a crazy combo you think would work, so you redesign a whole deck. Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. Much fun.
Yeah, it is so. It's so easy to pick up, but there's so much depth and strategy involved, and you can kind of like, I had this guy, like, I can't remember what game it was. He was taunting me, and you can like up the snap, you know, which is like the Tesseract, like you can earn, instead of earning like whatever 2 points for a game, you could earn like 8 points or whatever. And he thought he was going to destroy me, you know, with the last two hands. And so I had Shang-Chi on one lane, and I did something on other lane, and he did the thing that said, you know, the pre-done thing, what just happened, you know? And I do that little, the icon that, with Thanos, that looks like he's giving him the finger, you know?
Yeah.
He's doing the snap, but it looks like he's flipping him off. And it's just cool how they did the powers of the cards for the character, you know? Like if Wolverine's card gets destroyed, he comes back to life in another area. Or the new one, Venom, where he absorbs the cards and their powers on your side. You know, that, like, it's just, you know, it's very, very, it's very good. It's dangerous. Because you saw the thing that other, I mean, it was last week, whatever. And I was on like 86 hours playing the game, you know, it was just stupid.
I was like, what in the
86? You spent 86 hours playing this game,
dude. Listen, you talk about Chick-fil-A, that this, the one place where I go, it the line wraps around the building, and I said, fuck it. I just parked in a parking spot and played the game for 40 minutes, you know?
Oh, wow.
It was it's crazy. And then I'll be in bed, you know, and, you know, doing it for a half hour before I watch TV to go to sleep or whatever. So, and like, if you're watching a show that you really don't care about, I just sit there and play the game, you know?
Yeah. That's how many shows that I watch that, like, me and my wife watch, and I'm playing that game, and she'll sit there and look at me and go, she's like, you're not even paying attention. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm really not. Like, I'm just not. The game really sucks you. And the thing is once you're playing the game, it doesn't show you the time at all. It takes up the whole screen. So, like, you will get lost sometimes and not realize you've been playing it for an hour, hour and a half, and you're like sitting there going, wait, what time is it? What the fuck? And you're like, I feel like I played like 4 or 5 hands. Meanwhile, you probably played like 20 hands, and you're like trying to get these different objectives. It's super fun, but it's a huge time killer. So, yeah, if you got time to kill, fucking download it, play that shit. I will sit there, I will chat strategy with people. I love like seeing how people work their decks and what decks they're using. Oh my god, it's so much fun. So I guess, Joe, have you seen Tales of the Jedi yet?
Not yet, no.
Okay, so I'm the only one who's seen that. Super awesome, like, really short, almost like what the fuck was the other animated show they did last year or like a couple years ago,
the anime Star Wars,
I forget
the name of it.
Yeah, Visions.
Star Trek Visions.
So it's kind of like those in length, like 20 minute episodes, maybe not even quite 20 minutes. Kind of tell different stories. Like they tell the first one's an Ahsoka story. Second one becomes a Dooku story. A lot of it happened, like, there's a lot of fill in with Count Dooku in this. The first couple of episodes were a little meh. They're okay. They're watchable. They're not bad. From that point on, until the end of the series, they were all incredible episodes. Really quick shots, really filled in a lot of story of Clone Wars and did some of these characters, and it was, dude, just beautiful to watch too. I totally recommend it. You can knock it out in a few hours easily, and you'll enjoy it. I Jedi it, obviously. The other thing I watched was Hustle with Adam Sandler.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't seen that yet. My wife, we were looking for something to watch, and she suggested that. That was fucking entertaining. It's kind of like that fucking movie with Kevin Bacon, kind of. The Air Up There with, was it Dikembe Mutombo? Or who the fuck was it? Fuck.
Where, I think I know which one you're talking about. I don't think it was Dikembe.
No, I don't know. I can't remember. But it's basically Adam Sandler. There's like politics. He works for the 76ers and fucking he is a recruit, and he finally gets moved. He gets his dream position of being the assistant manager, except it's a verbal agreement, and the owner dies and his son takes over. Obviously there's contention, and he moves him back to being a scout, and he's supposed to find the next big player for them, and then he can go back to assistant coaching. And of course he finds the next big player, and shenanigans ensue, and you have it's fucking craziness. But it's very kind of a generic, you know, underdog story through and through, but it is well done. It looks great. Adam Sandler, fuck it, I am impressed. That was an incredibly good performance. I really enjoyed that movie. And I think it was a good job all the way around. That kid who was the basketball player was just fucking phenomenal, like crazy good. So I Jedi that as well. See, Grump said I was like cranky, and since I moved down to the south, look at me. I'm like Jedi and shit left and right. Fucking dude, I'm a changed man. I don't even know what you're talking about anymore. That being said, I bought Gotham Knights thinking I get to play it as the Robins, and I couldn't wait for this game, and I got the special version and all that bullshit. And I really should have saved my money for God of War, because it's good. It's a good story, but Joe had sent me an article saying how you can tell that they changed the design of the game midway through to make it more of a single player, whereas they wanted it to be more of a co-op kind of world building thing for an online community. And you can tell that they stopped that and went to focus more on single player, and the gameplay doesn't feel right. The powers are kind of all fucked up and weird. It's the story's great. It looks really good. It could look better, but it looks really good still. It's a Padawan just because it's so clunky. It's fucking the way it doesn't control really well. Like, you get used to Spider-Man and the Arkham games and how well the controls worked, and this just feels like there's kind of a delay, and it takes a little more to get your focus where you think it should be. I don't know. It's a little rough around the edges, but it, like, if you get this game for in the PlayStation store on sale, it's worth it. But yeah, don't fucking go out and buy it, because it's not worth the price you pay for it. But
like, I don't understand, like, the Arkham games did it so well, and they're the ones that made Arkham Origins.
Well,
so just fucking copy the mechanics of it. But yeah. Like I said, I don't think that's the game they wanted to make. They wanted to make
a co-op. They wanted to make a co-op, pay-to-play kind of situation where it was more like Call of Duty, where people, once you got through this, like a kind of generic story, then the intent was then you go fucking play multiplayer with a bunch of people online. And when they realized that that's kind of not what people wanted, most of that feels like it was already built into the game, and they had a hard time taking it all out. So there's still, you can still feel like there's an aspect of that in this, but it doesn't make sense for the game you're playing currently. So yeah, it's a little fucked. I think if they learn their mistake, a sequel to this game should be incredibly improved if they just work on the gameplay and story, realize that. Like, there's a market for single-player games. You don't need to make everything fucking, you know, let's make all our money through microtransactions, as opposed to, fuck it, let someone buy a game and just play a story, like fucking Ragnarok. Because all I've heard is fucking incredible shit about Ragnarok, and that is a game designed to play as a fucking single-player game, and it should be exactly like that.
Well, I will tell you, I just ordered those, like, thumbstick covers because my thumb is, like, literally raw from playing Ragnarok. And also, I was looking at a new TV. I'm reading all these reviews and are like how incredible it looks and 120 hertz and all this shit, 4K. And I'm like, yeah, I told my wife, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get a new Sony TV because that's, I have to experience this game. So yeah, it's right. So far, it's not reinventing the wheel. It's kind of an evolutionary, you know, step. Yeah. I don't care. That's like the Arkham games. I don't care. They're fun. Give me a new Arkham game in the same mechanics, throw a few new things in there, and I'm fine. Like, you don't have to reinvent a wheel with this stuff. David, I messaged you like 40 minutes into this. Do you remember like the previous game at the end, that battle with Baldur? It's like a three-part battle, you know, it's like going to different areas, you know, you're fighting and you get hit and you get launched to this other area.
Yeah.
They got one like that. It's 40 minutes into this game. Against a fat Thor. I mean, it's great. It's fucking great, man. So yeah, that game is definitely, it's definitely a Jedi. It's so much fun. So, And again, I will wait for Gotham Knights to be like on that, whatever the PlayStation Now service is. It's PlayStation Plus that I have, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, that's exactly what you should wait for. PlayStation Plus, and then fucking play it. And like I said, it's not bad. It's worth it for the story because it's a really interesting take on the Court of Owls. I really enjoyed it. And some of it's just fucking horribly repetitive. The boss battles could be a lot better, and they're just fucking, they're difficult for the sake of being difficult, but then there's like, once you figure out what it is you have to do, then it's just like stupid, like repetitiveness for half an hour, and then you beat them, and it's like, okay, fucking Christ. It really was made to, like, you have to get through this just to play co-op. And had they taken some time on the boss battles and made it more interesting as opposed to just fucking wash, rinse, repeat bullshit.
Yeah.
But on a positive note, I fucking finished Andor, and I ended up fucking really enjoying the season. The first few episodes, fucking rough as shit. Once they got over the fucking heist aspect mm-hmm. of the beginning part of this season, this was an incredible show. I was taken about how much I couldn't believe that I wanted to watch more of the inner working office aspect of the Empire than I ever thought I would be. I'm like, holy shit, this kind of story is kind of what I want. And then they made the Andor story really interesting with the fucking penal colony thing that they're on and shit. Like that shit was really smart and well done. I'll give this whole season a high Padawan. That the last two thirds of this season was really, really good.
Yeah, I had messaged Brian and Jake because they know that we did not like it, and they were asking about you too. And I said, "Well, I don't know," but I said I've never come around more on a show in a long time than this show.
Yeah,
the first three episodes it was such a task to get through.
Yeah,
but as you got into it, and especially the penal colony stuff is great. You know,
oh dude, I was like fucking cheering for him. Like, I know he's getting out of there, but at the same time, I'm like sitting there going, holy shit, like, yes, like.
But it's not just that, it's how they wrote him as a character because of how he became in Rogue One. You know, mm-hmm. he's not just this person that's like, well, let's escape out of here. He's trying to tell him, he's like, no one's listening to us. We can say whatever we want. They think that we're not even, we don't matter, you know, mm-hmm. because the guy's like, be quiet, they're listening. He goes, we're like insects to them, mm-hmm. you know? And I thought that was really cool as they kind of lean into that of his, like his psyche about all this and about, you know, how the Empire sees, you know, those, you know, the rebels, I guess. Yeah. And, you know, they did a, you know, and of course they did a, I reminded me of The Running Man where that scene where Maria Conchita Alonso was like, these are all last season's winners. He's like, no, these are last season's losers, because it's like, it doesn't matter what you do, your timer there, when you get out, you don't get out.
Right.
And
right,
I
right.
thought, you know, that, and I just thought that aspect was also fascinating just everything they did with that. So yes, I'm a believer now. You know, people are always asking for new Star Wars stuff, and if you watched the first two or three episodes and quit on it, you did yourself a disservice. Because and you think about it, a lot of shows that you watch now, you have to get through three or four episodes to kind of get its feet and legs under it. You know, Quantum Leap is throwing some things in there that are, you know, that are making it a little more interesting. But this show was really, this show really did it. And I'm very happy with that. So.
All right. So I'll bite the bullet and say I was that person you were just described. I gave up after the third episode. And I'm kicking myself now because you two are not the only two that have expressed the same sentiment about how much better the show got. And honestly, I think the last time I'm looking at Messenger, I'm going through our thread. I think I even said when all three of us were initially messaging each other about Andor, I said the third one actually started to pick up. So I was like, I'm gonna give it some more time, but then I just got busy at work and it just fell off my radar. So I was just like, all right, well, but yeah, I definitely have to. I think this weekend coming, actually I'm off Wednesday, I think. I'm gonna commit to making it a Star Wars day, and I'm gonna finish Andor and Tales of the Jedi.
Nice. Yeah, I honestly, like, while you're watching it, like, think of this. We know that the Empire has always ruled through fear. But right. This is exactly like that, like, the beginning of Rebels realizing, like, that's all the Empire has over them is the fear. Because it, like, honestly, like, Cassian goes through this, like, moment where he's, like, sitting there going, they don't care. Joe was exactly right. They don't look at them as a threat. They literally keep them in line with the threat of electrocution to a certain degree. And you, one of the realizations throughout the season is they're not paying attention. They think that we're just subservient to them, and they find out, like, all this shit that's going on, and the Empire just is getting away with it because no one is, everyone's too afraid to talk. And Cassian's like, no, man, you don't gotta be afraid. They don't care.
All they're doing, like, the Empire is, like, this colony is, it's like a quota. They have to make these, whatever it is that they're making for the Empire, mm-hmm. you know? So the people who are in charge there, all they're concerned about is making enough of those things so that they're not in trouble with those higher ups, because they fear the higher ups. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then you had, I can't remember her name. You know, I call her the assistant to the regional galaxy director, you know? But she, you know, she's a good character. Like, it's interesting to see, you know, the what's her name? I lost her. The redhead lady,
Mon Mothma.
Yeah. So, you know, about, you know, how she's doing things, you know, from behind the scenes, but when she's in these, you know, gatherings, you know, of all the up well to do, that type of thing. So. Yeah, it's a very interesting take on it, and, you know, like, again, people say they want new kind of Star Wars stuff. This is what you're gonna get. So, I'm very glad, very happy.
Yeah, gentlemen, before we get to Wakanda Forever, has it anybody watched anything else they want to bring up?
Let me just run through a few things here. Let me find my, you know, we never talked about Werewolf by Night.
You're right. We did.
I actually did see that. So, yay.
Yeah. After the last one, I'm like, we never talked about Werewolf by Night.
Yeah. Actually, but that,
what a great throwback to the old, like, monster movies, you know, like from the 40s and the 50s. I thought it was well done. I hope they do this every year. It was, you know, the black and white was great. And I guess I heard that, read some stories that Feige was not in favor of black and white and was convinced otherwise, I guess, when seeing, you know, as it progressed through. So the lady, I can't remember, I don't know the actress's name, but she was on the Nevers, that show, that Joss Whedon show. I'd say Joss Whedon, but... I think it was HBO show, which was a great show. So she was perfect in this movie, or this, you know, this, I guess, little one shot or whatever. So, and then you get Man Things, all good stuff, man.
Yeah.
It's total Jedi.
Yeah. I agree. I didn't know shit about this. Like, I just kept seeing, like, different things where people were like, oh yeah, this is really good. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I started watching, I'm like, I kind of am getting bits and pieces of shit, and then, like, when they brought in Elsa Bloodstone and shit, I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm kind of understanding shit. And once they brought in Man Thing, I'm like, oh shit, okay,
yeah,
this is interesting as shit. Like, okay, I'm down for this show. I got, by the time it was over, I was surprised at how much I really enjoyed it, and I'm like, fuck, do this weird kind of shit. Like, honestly, I'm here for it. That was super fun. I agree. That's a total Jedi.
Yeah, I agree too. Yeah, it's a total Jedi for me too. I watched it. It's just like, what, 45 minutes. But I had to, this because I was watching it on the way to work, so I had to watch it in two sittings, and it was just great. And it's interesting you say that whole thing about the black and white, and Feige not liking it. I really like the black and white where they have, like, bits of color in it. Like, yes, like,
yeah.
Like, like, I think every time they showed the Bloodstone or whatever it is, it was in color. Like, I don't know what it is about that, but I like that type of thing. So this was in a having man thing in there. And this, the, you're right. It gave me the, I was explaining this to somebody at work. I was like, I don't know, he's around my age. I was like, did you ever used to watch on Saturday afternoons the monster movies, like the not like Godzilla, King Kong, like the Frankenstein,
oh, yeah.
Dracula, oh, werewolf. Yeah. And he was like, yeah. I was like, yo, this is exactly what that feels like. It felt like I was 8, 9, 10 years old, however old I was. And they used to come on either Channel 5 or Channel 11 or whichever local channel it was here in New York City, it would come on. And it would always come on like 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And then from 3 to 5, it was like a kung fu movie or something like that.
Yeah.
And that literally, Werewolf by Night took me right back to that Saturday afternoon monster movie.
Well, and it even had that the film look, like the, you know, the mm-hmm. dirty film, yeah. and everything, yeah. with dirt, yep. on the film and everything. So it just, mm-hmm. yeah. Anybody watching the Peripheral on Amazon Prime?
No, but I've seen the trailers and it looks good.
Go, yes, just, I won't even say anything. Just go watch it so far, because I mean it. Okay. Like, it gets really, I mean it kind of goes from the get go, but episode 4 gets really cranking. Really interesting way of killing a bunch of guys, which is very unique and I haven't seen before. So I want so that's good. And then when I had to go to Chicago, I downloaded some movies, and I remember, Dunk, I know you saw the Protégé with Maggie Q and Michael Keaton, and I liked everything but the end. The very really? End, where it's like her and Michael Keaton are in the room, and then you hear gunshots, and that she walks out.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
but it was an enjoyable enough movie.
But they had no chemistry.
Oh no, yeah, I didn't believe any of that.
They had no chemistry whatsoever, and I think for a movie like that to work, even if the rest of it is eh. If they was to nail the chemistry between the two main characters, it would have made the movie 1,000 times better.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, Michael Keaton's just so great anyway, you know? So I'm trying to think if they had somebody else besides him, you know, the way he gives his performance and what he says, mm-hmm. and everything. I don't know how it would, you know, it's just, it's one of those I'm glad I didn't pay, or if it was in a theater or not. You know, I wouldn't want to see it in a theater.
Yeah, I paid for it. It wasn't a theater. I paid for it. I think his, if they had maybe done maybe like where there wasn't the romantic angle between them.
Yeah.
The chemistry would have worked between them better. But because they put the romantic angle in it, that it just didn't work for it. Didn't work. Like if he was a Red Reddington character from like The Blacklist, if he was something like that, and he was like, and he had a fondness for her for some other reason, other than romantic, I think it would have worked better with the age difference and the style difference, yeah. and everything like that. But the fact that they made it the romance angle just didn't work.
Yeah. But that's it. I want to talk Black Panther. So,
yeah, real quick, I'll just throw this one little thing because I literally just saw this last night. And there's an old, it's been out for a while, but on Netflix, The Man from Toronto with Woody Harrelson and Kevin Hart. Total. I Jedi it. Like the critics bashed it. I don't know if you guys saw it, but it was funny as fuck to me. Like. It was Kevin Hart being Kevin Hart. Woody Harrelson was, you know, kind of stiffed in his acting. But the story really worked. And Kevin Hart is in his element being the fucking funny goof sidekick. So yeah. I enjoyed it. So I Jedi it.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will be moving on to Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. And I will start out and I will just say, if I Jedi'd Black Adam, there's no fucking way in hell this movie is not getting a Jedi, because it was better than I had anticipated. I think coming into this, Marvel's track record with me was not stellar lately, so I was a little worried. I didn't know what they were going to do or how they were going to handle it, but to me, it was handled beautifully. I think they wrote Shuri exceptionally well. I think it was pulled off exceptionally well. I fucking absolutely love the Ironheart armor. I had such an emotional roller coaster of a ride throughout this entire movie. I absolutely loved it. And I give this a Jedi. Joe.
Well, I don't give it a Jedi. well, first I'll say
colonizer.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, first of all, Coogler had a huge task of what to do after the death. So I commend him. I know they had to go start from scratch and everything. Really liked the beginning. And then you get the Marvel Studios logo with all Chadwick over silence. I mean, there was like, three different times in this movie where it just got super emotional, and that was one of them. The two best characters in the movie are Namor and Riri. Like, I really did not care for the whole Shuri thing.
Really?
I did not like the Mega Man in red Ironheart armor.
Oh, fuck you, dude. That looks so dope on screen.
Just some weird stuff in this where, for like in the trailers, the Queen gives this impactful speech and it's insinuated that it's in front of like the United Nations and super powerful and all that. When actually she's berating Okoye. So that lost its impact for me, no. Just from what I expected from the trailers. I think Namor was great. It was a great villain, great storyline. I didn't care for that second act where it's like a romance, like here, look around Ark thing. I was good up until they demoted Okoye, right? To that point, I guess we'll talk about some more. But I'm gonna give it. I give it a Padawan. I just didn't think it was phenomenal. It was less than I thought it would be. I was kind of disappointed in that. But like I said, I love the Riri character. I can't wait to see her Disney Plus show, and the Namor going forward all as well. I mean, they did the Namor flying, zigzagging, stopping on a dime, and the camera sequence they did with him in the air was incredible. Like, I was like trying to relate it to something like Jordan, like running, stopping. Doing everything. Mm-hmm. It was so wild what they were doing with that. I didn't like that Court of Owls armor that they designed.
Oh, I know which one you're
what I mean?
About.
That kind of thing.
Midnight shade or something like that.
Yeah. We'll talk about that. So that's what I got.
Joe, I don't think I've ever disliked you more than this moment. I mean,
I think Joe's a racist.
I'm
just throwing it out there.
I think we're just gonna have to call it that. Call it what it is, man. Because honestly, there's no reason for what you just said. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Sure.
Oh, I mean, listen. I teach this own. I fucking love this movie. I saw this movie Friday night, and I immediately had to go see it again. I saw it this morning. I was there. We got the 10:40 show. I loved it even better the second time around. And it hit different beats for me, emotional beats the second time around. I Jedi the fuck out of this movie. I don't know that I had huge expectations or I just I didn't have any expectations going. I knew it was going. I think no. Let me backtrack that. Before the first trailer dropped, I think it was in July or something, I didn't really have much expectation one way or the other about the movie. Like you, David, I was kind of like, Marvel's been kind of slowing down a bit. Their movies, their series, I think, the Disney Plus series have been pretty solid. The Strange Multiverse of Madness and Love and Thunder just struggled and kind of just lowered the bar a lot. Still a Marvel fan, still a comic book fan, still love everything about the genre, but just so going before the first trailer, I didn't have much of an expectations. When the trailer dropped in July, I was like, something in it just said, this is going to be good. And I hope I'm right. And I hope it doesn't get, I get disappointed. And it didn't disappoint me. Pretty much beat for beat what you said, David. The performances in this movie were spectacular. I think the storyline did what it needed to do in honoring Chadwick, in setting this, giving space for new characters to step into the place without feeling like they're taking over for Chadwick. And giving a real, real representation of grief and how, what grief looks like for different people. And, I disagree strongly with you when you say you did that Shuri and was not like her. She was phenomenal every time she was on screen. I think she was her, the way she portrayed her grief and Shuri's journey to the Black Panther was amazing to me. Angela Bassett.
Yes, Angela Bassett.
If she doesn't get an Oscar nominee, and I don't care nothing about the Academy Awards, if she doesn't get at least an Oscar nomination, I would fucking riot. Because
dude, like every that second. Her speeches were some of the most powerful speeches in the MCU. Like, they're straight up just when she's fucking dressing down the United States and France on like screen. that is straight fucking power. That is how you deliver a powerful performance. Like, there was no doubt she was not fucking around. Period.
Oh yeah, she gave strong Black mother vibes. Like, fuck around and find out if you want to.
Yep.
That speech in front of the UN was strictly a fuck around and find out if you want to, that a Black mother would get. And
well, it's awesome that they did. They did. You know, they set up a trap for those French soldiers or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, oh my God, this Dora Milaje is in there, and they just go to town on that.
Right.
So
go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I'll say something related to that in a little bit. So.
Oh no, I was gonna say this. Like when you say that, the speech that they previewed in a trailer wasn't delivered the way we thought it was delivered. I you're right. It wasn't. It was a little bit of a head fake, but if you look at what Queen Ramona went through and what she lost at that moment. Given that speech to Okoye and the actions she took to her, she gave to her the consequences, was in line with what someone who lost her husband, then her son almost died, then the fucking she lost her son and her daughter during the 5-year blip where the whole world was fucked up. She had to step up. Then she gets her son back and her daughter back. And then a year later, her son dies. And then now all she's clinging to is her daughter, and her daughter's taken. It's like, absolutely, I understand her rage at that moment and what happened. Yeah, absolutely. I fucking Jedi this movie. I will probably watch this movie again in the movies before it comes out on streaming.
I did say to someone, I said, I will watch Wakanda Forever far more than I will ever watch the original Black Panther, because there's so many good things about this. I agree with Joe, actually. The middle part of the movie, second act, The first act was absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
The second act was a little long, and if you took a little bit of the romance element out and made it more of him just trying to plead his case to Shuri, I think that would have gone better. I think it was a little long, too, because I started feeling a little drifty at points where I'm just like, okay, I get where we're going. We kind of need to get there and get where we're going. The third act was really good. I think there was a bit of frustration on my part of the Wakandans' plan.
Yeah, that's what I had an issue with, too.
You don't go and give the sea people the fucking advantage by being in the fucking sea.
Exactly.
If you do, then you bring it closer to shore, not out in the middle of the fucking ocean where you can't lure them to a better position. That being said, I thought that was fucking stupid, and I get that criticism of it. That being said, I think it was wonderfully shot. It did not feel it. There were moments where it felt a little too shaky at times, but for the most part, it flowed really well. And it wasn't super all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the fight between Shuri and Namor. But what I really fucking loved was getting Shuri to the spot of wanting and knowing that she needed to become the Black Panther. Because you're right. This movie was about how people deal with grief. And everybody, I think they set the tone in the very beginning of this movie by, just hitting you right in the heart with, trying to save Chadwick Boseman. And, then them having to relive this experience. You hit everybody with that and how everybody dealt with it differently. But the growth that Shuri's character went through, because she's super mad at the world. And if you've ever had lost someone that you love, you get that moment where you are fucking mad. It is just a stage of grief. You are mad at everything. It's how you come out of the other end and the journey you take. And watching Shuri's journey was just absolutely beautiful. And to me, this movie more than anything just took me on a journey that told a story that everyone could relate to and did it so well. So I think there's things that could be trimmed here and there, done a little bit better, but overall I think this is definitely Marvel's best outing in quite a while. It is a fucking super solid story movie, well performed. And you're right, Riri was fucking brilliant. And that original kind of Ironheart armor, the kind of exoskeleton armor, that shit was dope as fuck, too.
I like that.
Honestly, that was cool as fuck. If she had that throughout almost the entire movie, I'd have been completely fine, because that looked dope as fuck. But yeah, I absolutely love this movie. I don't begrudge you the your rating or I get the criticisms because they're there. But
I think it's one of those differently. Yeah, it's one of those. I mean, I won't see it in the theater again. I'll wait for it to come out again, and my rating may change. So a couple things. So they did, and this is totally just unrelated. It's a funny thing I thought of. They unseated Man of Steel's phallic-shaped rockets going to the Phantom Zone for a phallic-shaped cactus casket going into, looks like a mouth, okay? Because it looked like two eyes and a mouth, and it looked like, so that was like, I'm like, why is it, why do they have all these caskets and things that they beam up that look like dicks? I don't know, but anyway.
And where did they take them?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, but so the Shuri thing. So what I think would have been a better storyline for her was she's in the you know, the plane, and she sees Killmonger, spoilers, which was a great scene. That was awesome to see.
Oh, Michael, yeah, we're Michael totally spoiling this. If you
yeah, know. So, yeah, so, up. And he's like, I know what you want. I know what you want, revenge and all that kind of thing. And so, like, I thought that she should have had, they should have had a battle first, like after that, with the, you know, the Talokans, right? And that her outfit looked like Killmonger, right? And then she realizes that that's not the way. And we get a final battle in like the Chadwick looking with the purple and things like that. I don't know how many Wakandans died up on that giant ship, that fucking ship that looks like it was like 10 yeah. stories tall. And the other missed opportunity I thought was when, you know, the queen was talking about where she was seeking peace and she felt a nudge or a hand on the shoulder from him.
Yeah.
I thought for sure that's what the end scene was going towards.
I totally get it because I was waiting for it too.
Like I wanted the movie.
That is such a, that would have been a beautiful payoff. And you know what would have even been better? Like, okay. Again, you could have either done a composite of Chadwick Boseman's hand coming in and touching her as just kind of like you do it kind of hologramish.
Yes.
Or you have Angela Bassett, because again, holy fuck, killing off Angela Bassett in this movie. Like, what in the fuck? Like, you already killed me in the beginning with Chad, and then you fucking killed me in the middle with killing Queen Ramona, and then you do the fucking tribute at the end with Chadwick Boseman and try to make me cry again, you motherfuckers. Like, seriously, you could have, like, let me have a little bit of a breather and not just fucking gut punched me again halfway through the movie. Like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, I mean, that's just think about that scene. I think about it and it gives me chills where she'd be sitting there, you know, she accepted and she burns, you know, the dressings and all that. And she, you know, she's like looking out and crying or whatever and, you know, seeking solace. And then you see a hand come on her shoulder and mm-hmm. the movie ends right there. Like, that's like, that is, I thought that's what they were leading up to with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and the Okoye storyline, where, you know, near the end where then she's in this Iron Man type armor. I thought that was, I wanted to see her beat, I don't know if that was Autumna or what warrior that was, but I wanted to see her do, like we talk about Rocky. I wanted to see her come back and beat him in whatever unconventional way of her fighting and all that, and not because she has a suit and kicks him off the boat, okay?
Right.
Or with the teamwork aspect of it. The few things there. It's like I said, when I see it again, I'll see if I have different feelings of it, but that's just the way I got it for the first thing. And they make Namor's name in the comics is Avenging Son, but they make it without love. Like the dudes who are enslaving his people, that guy says to a kid, "You're without love." I'm like, you were like, you have people in chains. Like, I'm like, what are you saying without love? Like, that's goofy. But at least he said he was a mutant. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That was kind of cool. They kind of just like dropped it.
Yeah. Just dropped it.
And like,
that was like that was to the fans. Like, okay, this is where we start. Okay. Yeah. Right. Here it is.
Yeah. Okay. So you finished. All right.
No. So yeah, it's just, and I did like seeing Julia Louis-Dreyfus as Val on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think yeah. they really fleshed out her character some more versus the joke. You know, obviously there was jokiness, but the shrewdness of it, you know, with,
mm-hmm.
you know, the beads and, you know, she knew everything that was going on, kind of like Fury knows everything that's going on.
Right.
So I thought that was, you know, a good, you know, addition to the movie with it. So, but other than that, that's kind of what I got.
So, I mean, let me just respond to a couple of things. So, first off, as much as I love the movie, I understand it's not a perfect movie. So, I don't want it to appear like I'm just so in love with the movie that I don't see any flaws. Yeah, there were flaws. I definitely think that middle portion, the middle third of the movie, was the weakest part. I think the journey to Tokan or Tokan, however you pronounce it, city. I honestly wasn't impressed by that. I think it was unnecessary. I don't understand why in the story it was necessary, but like I could have did without it. And I wasn't even really that impressed with it. I was expecting it to be looking a lot more impressive. But I didn't get the romance, and you guys both mentioned a romance. Like I didn't get the feeling of a romance between him and Shuri. Like, I didn't get that vibe from that exchange, the time that they were on screen together. I really think that he was more of just trying to convince her to see things his way, royal to royal, because one thing about Namor's character is he's definitely all about the royal bloodline, the pageantry, and giving deference to other royals, and everyone else not a royal is beneath him. So I just think that's the kind of read I got on it, and you know, I just didn't see the romance angle there.
Yeah, then, I think you're right with you. Maybe that was a bad word, but it like
yeah.
wooing her to understand his side yeah. of what's going mm-hmm. on with it. But you know, she was like all like she looked like she was like all dreamy eyed. You know, as
yeah, that I think that's where it was like when I was watching her react, it was like she was more taken with him and like kind of you. Joe's right. It's like those fucking starry eyes, dreamy eyes and mm-hmm. shit. Like, where as opposed to being more intrigued.
Right. Gotcha. I can see that. Okay. So, before I forget, Namor, the actor that played Namor, killed it. Like, he...
Yes.
I understand. He fucking killed it. Like, I think that was probably the best introduction of a Marvel villain since maybe since Winter Soldier. I'm trying to think of someone before someone or after that. Thanos was decent, but you know, it wasn't great. Like, this was a nuanced character. The character of Namor, not that I know a lot of him, but of his backstory, but what I've read a lot of comics with him where he was part of the storyline, and that he was true to his character. And I liked the inclusion of the Mexican heritage and that part of it. But Joe, you had said something about Shuri's reaction to Ramona's. No. You had said that you had thought it would have been better if she took on the mantle first and then had a battle, and then she realized that way was the wrong way, Killmonger's way. And I could see that, but I also think that it was the reason why she finally took on the mantle was because of her mother's death. Because right. Because she knew that Wakanda had nothing, no other protector. And if she didn't step up, that the country would have been lost. So I think the sequencing of it was right. Like, I wasn't thrilled with their choice to kill her, but I get why they did it in the movie, in the servants of the story. So yeah, and then the last thing I wanted to say is, once again, the my biggest criticism of this movie, just like the first one, I don't know, I think me and Chris reviewed it. I don't understand how they have a Black Panther movie and they have pretty much every major, like, not every major, but they have a lot of a predominantly Black class. And this is the second time that Samuel L. Jackson did not appear in the movie. Like, I know, I know Nick Fury's off in space, but Samuel L. Jackson, the first fucking nigger of the MCU, the HNIC, never in Black Panther, not once. Don't understand.
I will say the end, like the mid credit scene, was. I wanted more. I'm not even gonna lie.
Like, I did too.
I get it to a point, but I think you do need to further the MCU part of it and either add a stinger of something. Dunk's right. You should have kind of gotten Nick Fury, kind of give like a look as to what's going on in the universe, because we don't really know. It would have been a nice, like, quick little, hey, we haven't forgotten. We know what's going on. Here's a little peek.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys stuck around to the end, but there was that one, just that, like, that title credit scene that the Black Panther will return. Yes. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, that was, and I read an article, because I didn't really watch too many reactions to this, but I did read one little blurb where they were saying that the mid credit scene being dedicated to Chadwick or that storyline was, you know, all in, you know, showing reverence for Chadwick. And I get that, but also I think they did that throughout the entire movie, so they could have kind of stuck in a 15-second, you know, some 15 seconds of something to further the Phase 5, because this is the introduction of Phase 5. There is a lot that's out there that they have to kind of, that's kind of coming through this cross section. So I think there was a missed opportunity. If you wanted to keep that as a mid credit, perfect, fine, but give us an end credit where you're introducing, you know, like how Avengers end credit, the Avengers end credit introduced Thanos. We know the next big bag is going to be Kang, but maybe have something with him in it. Like,
right.
You know, so, but that was it. Other than that, like, I, again, Jedi, this movie, loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said that, well, the rumors were that there was going to be a Doctor Doom post-credit. But I think it was, if they took it out so it didn't take away from the focus on Chadwick and things like his legacy, I think that's a smart move.
Yeah. But you know, and I was expecting it, and you know, it could have been something simple as that scene with Namor, the last scene with him where he's explaining his rationale and how Wakanda is going to be alone in the world and it's going to eventually come to that. Like, if they had taken that out and put that as an end credit, and then you throw like a throwaway line, like, oh, we have there's a message from, or a messenger from a country called Lakvaria. Like, and that's all you got to do. You don't got to mention Dr. Doom.
Right.
He's probably not, you know, cast or whatever, but just do something like that as the end credit would have been, it would have been a chef's kiss.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfection.
That's good. Yeah. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Namor, of what he was talking about, like the future, about they're going to need us. That I think that would have been a better
mid
credit. Is right. You're right.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Dunk with the fucking nice pull on that one. I will give you credit. The fuck,
man. And David, I think, is this the first time the N-word's been said on our podcast? Did Jordan say it on the Supercast? I know he thought it in his mind. I think it was in his mind. No, I'm joking.
most definitely probably was.
Well, he did a lot. Remember the thing about Asians that he did that we got on him about, where he hated Big Trouble in Little China because of all the Asians in it. I'm like, it's Little China. What are you talking about? So anyway.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he was so dumb.
That's a deep cut back there, buddy.
Dunk making history.
Yeah. I still can't believe you Padawaned it. That one shocking to me, but he's strong. Shocking. Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know. What's the next big thing coming out?
I mean, not this big thing, but isn't next month is the Shazam 2?
No, that's March.
Pushed that back. They moved it to March.
They moved it back to March.
Is there anything big coming out in December?
The only thing that I can think of in terms of like the superhero comic book world is Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. I think that comes out sometime after Thanksgiving, but before Christmas.
Isn't that on Disney Plus though?
That's on Disney Plus. The next thing in the movie, I can't even speak right now, I'm so tired. The next thing in the movie is Ant-Man. Ant-Man 3. That comes out February 17th.
Fuck.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's sweet. The next.
All right. Well, this is it's actually Thanksgiving in a couple weeks, gentlemen. So We could be on a bit of a holiday break.
We definitely will, because the week after, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, I am on vacation. I am out of here. I am going on a cruise.
Where are you going?
Nice.
We're going on a Caribbean cruise. It's like four ports. We're flying down to Miami and then four ports down in it's like DR, Bahamas, I can't even remember.
Let me know offline where you're going. So
okay,
we've been on two or three down the Caribbean. So,
all right, cool. I'll shoot you a messenger and let you know. But yeah, so that's Saturday after Thanksgiving, and like we fly out and then out, so, and I'll come back the following Saturday. So
very nice. I love cruises.
Yeah. I haven't been on one in fucking decades.
I haven't been on one either. So, and this is the first vacation I've taken in like 2 years. So I'm ready. I'm so ready for it.
Don't come back from the cruise with the Rona.
Oh, Jesus. Fucker. Dude, like we had a holiday party, the Friday before Halloween. The school had a Halloween dance. And when I tell you that was a super spreader, four of my staff members got it. Like three people in the school leadership plus like 35 students got it. Like that next week, literally, last was just out. And two of my coaches got it. I was testing myself twice a day for the last 5 days.
I told you it was like when we got. I told you when we got back from Florida. That was, you know, and I honestly don't think it was from like the air. I think it was just from not doing the hand washing as like we used to.
Right.
I honestly think that was it because you know with think about it going in and I try and open doors with my elbow and shit like that, but. And Disney was very good. And I can't remember if I said this when we talked about it, but like I bought this little, you know, Slurpee in a BB-8, you know, nice plastic thing. It looks like a model. And, you know, when they put the straw in there, first of all, they had plastic gloves on and they grabbed the straw with tongs and put it in there. So, you know, they're trying to do their part with it. But I don't know that. Well, we just had an event of our company in Vegas, and everyone got COVID when they got back home at the SEMA show. I mean, you know, we had 80,000 people there or whatever the shit it was. So, That's fine.
Crazy. That's fine. That's fine. It's all fine.
It's all fine.
God damn it. All right, gentlemen. Well, until next time, you've been listening to Vintage Geeks, where we are saving the multiverse one podcast at a time.
Viva Bay! Viva Bay! Viva Bay! Viva Bay!